is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Again came the shooting. A 16-year-old African-American teenager, Kamani Kiki Gray, was gunned down by plainclothes police. 7 out of the 11 bullets fired, leaving him dead on the sidewalk of East 52nd Street in Brooklyn, New York City, just a short walk away from where 23-year-old Chantel Davis was killed by police some months earlier. While some community witnesses claim Kamani pleaded for his life, again the police claim they feared for theirs. Again came the media's claim that community rebellion in response to the latest police killing of a black youth was sparked by outside agitators, perhaps Occupy, and did the community a disservice. And again, the reality of the unrelenting poverty and its consequences, the indignities faced regularly by black youth, the discriminatory and deadly policing policies that criminalize black communities and steal black life are ignored. Who really brings guns into our communities and profits from their sale and use? That's ignored. But for over a week now, the black youth of East Flatbush and a growing number of supporters from across the city are not to be deterred and call out the reasons why Kamani died, demand justice, and strive for meaningful redress of their grievances. On East 52nd Street, I'm Mimi Rosenberg, bringing you the voices from a community in rebellion. Tell me why you're here.
This isn't right. They should pay for this now. For killing a young teen while he was turned backwards. They didn't see no weapon. The cops must pay.
Do you live around here?
Yes, I live on 53rd and Clark.
Are you?
You know, the cops just killed somebody for no reason. Like, what I have to say is...
Watch it.
Let's go!
Sister, tell me what you were saying to the police. I can never overcome this. Why? Because I'm a mother. He's like my child. They took his life away from him. After he begged, they put 7 bullets in him. 2 police officers. They shot him from the back to the front. They saying he's a gang member. After they took his life, they don't know him. Ask the people in the community about him. Where's the resource for the kids? Where is the community center? There's nothing like that here. Why they terrorize us and stalk us and kill us? Why? Answer that question. Why you took his life after he begged for his life? We're standing here now. The police are aggressively pushing back. The young people have taken to the street.
God, look at this.
The riot police are now charging the youth. They're beginning to use their billy clubs.
Oh my God.
Get out
of here. What?
Sister, do you mind telling me what happened?
The cops tried to block up the area and to start the protest, but everybody wants to go and they keep blocking us. So now they're trying to do enforcement on everybody, so everybody take the street.
And you think that it's important that people express themselves?
Yes,
and just...
it is. They should express themselves. You can't kill a 16-year-old.
Do you live in the neighborhood?
Yes, he lives on my block. The bike cop run over the baby. The bike. Okay, the cop just run over the baby. That's why the people, they get crazy.
Excuse me, sister, you were talking about the police motorcycle.
The police and the motorcycle. What happened at 52nd? This lady with her baby wanted to cross to get out of the crowd. And the bike police run over the kid and the lady. You understand me? And that's what caused the problem right there.
Cop just pushed.
Okay?
What happened to the mother and the baby?
Nothing dangerous happened. She just picked up and left.
Are they okay?
Okay? But and the cop come off with his battalion wanted to fight.
Do you think that this is atypical for the police to behave with such disrespect?
That's how the police behave regular.
All the police
behave regular. That's how they behave regular. On the regular. And that's why the people them are so furious. We try to do it the right way.
Tell me about it.
Everybody want to stop. This stop and frisk thing is getting out of hand. Like, you just want to stop harassing people every day, the same person every day. It makes no sense. Eventually, everybody going to get upset.
Do you live around here?
Yeah, I live right there on the
What's
block.
What's been your own experience?
Yo, I got my own situation. I got in a fight with four officers on my same block, 54 Church Slatter. Tell them to check about that record about me. I had to sue them. Come on, man. You're going to beat me up. I'm talking to my four cops. That made no sense.
I was right here. You could have smelled it. They mazed them right here.
Oh, yeah, I can smell it. But how many people
were a block of people, full.
So that's why the kids, they run that way. So them cause it now to let the kids, they go crazy. You see what we're trying to say? So when people see it on the TV and say that the kids are behaving bad,
that's
the part that the cops want to show. Because when they maze the kids going to get retaliated and they're going to go a different way. And then they say that the kids are wrong. But these are the stuff that they do all the time. Just now, like 10 minutes ago.
Excuse me. Do you mind if I talk to you? So, do you live around here?
I live on the other side of Brooklyn.
So you specifically came for the protest?
Yes, I've been here since Monday.
Tell me about what brought you here. And
we're going to have to get some kind of organization to get some lawyers out here because our rights are being violated. How could they stop a peaceful gathering, which is what we were doing? Nothing was being done illegally. I have three teenager boys, obviously African American, so this hits close to home. I don't want to wait until something, I don't even want to really say it, but
yeah.
I want to get involved.
How old are your children?
13, 15, and 16.
Do you talk to them about this?
Yeah, but I don't really want to scare them too much. I just let them know that they need to be aware and what to do if they're approached by the police.
And what do you tell them?
About stop and frisk, to give the information, be polite, no sudden moves. Whatever they tell you, tell them you don't have a weapon and just comply with them. Hopefully it goes well, but I don't really...
Do you feel, is this about racism that's embedded in the culture of the police department, of the society?
Yes, and you know that's not a normal conversation for a mother to have with her children, to say something like that if you're approached by the police. I'm sure suburbia doesn't have to talk to their children about things like that.
Coming here, drove around for almost a full mile in all directions. I don't think for years I have seen as great a police presence. There are snipers that were standing on top of buildings. There are full police wagons, vans, motorcycles, plainclothes cops stationed at every corner for almost a mile. So they've turned this into a complete armed camp.
Yeah, that's how I feel even before this incident. I'm sure I'll probably feel this way afterwards, yeah. In the urban areas, this is the environment. Now, with the stop and frisk, that's a Gestapo tactic as well, where I've even had an incident with the police twice. Here, I'm a mother, no threat to anybody, and was asked for my identification walking through the park. Also, that police precinct back there doesn't reflect the community.
Mm-hmm.
When I went at the march yesterday and we went to the precinct, it was mostly white officers. An area like this, okay, where you have two questionable deaths back to back. This recent thing with Kamani Gray and Chantel Davis.
Young woman.
Like, that didn't even happen a year ago. You know,
right, and it was the same area, and she was shot while she was in a car.
Right, the same precinct. So what they need to do is they need to look at that precinct. Retrain all of those officers, then disperse them to other precincts, because obviously they have something going on in that precinct. Why you keep having these incidents? And we can't afford to say, well, it was only two. That's still two people's lives.
Councilman. Well, the protest has been cut into a myriad different streams. There's groups of youths half a mile away. Well, the police are very aggressive with them.
Well, this is the thing. The family particularly asked for there not to be a march, but they wanted just a vigil here. But so we're happy about that. The group that left, unfortunately, were egged on by some people that actually are not from the community. So that's a little frustrating.
They're hurt. They're in pain, and they're angry.
So, like I said, one, I just hope that it remains peaceful, because I can't condone the behavior that happened on past Monday. But we also can't condone people ignoring their pain, ignoring their hurt. So I'm asking on even the mayor, the commission to come out here. We have to address it. It's just going to continue. So that's frustrating. What we need to give some better outlets to get the anger out, because particularly in your own neighborhood, it doesn't make sense. So I'm just hoping that there's a peaceful march like it was yesterday.
Councilman, you've tried to deal with the issue of stop and frisk. We also have a new mayoral campaign beginning to rev up. Certainly don't see any of the candidates taking any really aggressive stance against police abuse or stop and frisk policies. Where do you think we go systemically?
All of the candidates actually have either said they want to amend it, change it, and there's at least one candidate who said they want to end it. So it is definitely an issue, and I think people are going to vote along those issues. So it's something that it needs to be, and I think it's going to remain a huge issue. Police commission and mayor realizes the issue. They don't want to admit it because of the arrogance, but stops have drastically reduced last year and this year. And at the same time, murders going down, the shootings started to go down. So there's no correlation. They waited to a program that doesn't work, and it causes confusion in the community. So I'm just hoping that they really finally just begin to admit that so that we can begin the healing process. We have two different things. The community has to take some accountability as well, and the city has to acknowledge that there's a problem.
And I'm speaking with Council Member Jamani Williams. I've been here for decades on these kind of protests, and I'm just again wondering, do you think we can really build a movement, or what needs to be done, of these very young people who see themselves in the death of this young boy?
Yes, if we remain organized, remain firm. This is not about one shooting or the details of one shooting. This is about a pattern of practice. Running around, while I understand the anger, is not the most productive thing to do. We have to find a productive way to get the anger expressed so that we can get the change that we want.
Is there any legislation pending just on that level now?
Yes, I have a Community Safety Act that's addressing some of these that are pending. We're hoping we're going to get passed soon.
All right. Thank you. In response to this latest horrible tragedy, what kind of conversations need to happen to address this?
The wrong questions are being asked. The colloquy that the commissioner had with Jamani yesterday at the hearing in City Hall, the commissioner opened his mouth and he said the wrong thing as far as I'm concerned, talking about, well, for that matter, that what about a 16-year-old young man having a gun? It's not the issue. Why do they have guns in these streets to begin with? Where are those guns coming from? This whole gun buyback stuff, it really, it's necessary, but it's unfortunate that it's necessary because it's ridiculous. Where did those guns come from? Those guns are being shipped into this community and given to young people who are frustrated because their families can't feed them, because the poverty that's in these communities are by design. The education that they're receiving is inadequate.
And they're closing up all the schools.
These communities are in chaos. The mayor wants to focus on Manhattan, his beautiful citadel, and yet the outer boroughs and the communities that really need the attention and need the assistance are being given short shrift. And you have subsidies. You have these communities of people who are eking out a living any which way they can. And why can't you talk to them? Because they're hungry. And if you can't feed them, you can't put clothes on their back, you can't put shoes on their feet and a roof over their head, they don't want to hear what you have to say to them. The civil society in which we are engaging here is not civil. And it's not civil because our leaders, and I want to look directly to Mayor Bloomberg, he understands the issues. They have those CompStat numbers. They understand exactly what's going on here. When they arrest these kids for drugs and they throw them in jail, right, for these bogus drug offenses, and they put them back on the street, they know they can't get a job. They know that they need to eat somehow. They know that they're going to need the things to survive and sustain themselves and their families, and they know that they don't have them. So they put the cops out here on the street, and they have the guns, and they're really, and they're ready to take their lives. And this is the question: is a black life not a life that has value? Is it not precious? If you look at all the people that are here on this corner, we have to ask ourselves this question: are these lives not valuable? And we have to say that they are. But if they are, where are the resources? Where are what they need so that these people can thrive? If this were in Bay Ridge, if we were in Dyker Heights, if we were on 83rd Street and Lexington Avenue, this conversation would not be happening right now. Those officers would be in jail and the city would be in uproar. But because it's a black life, okay, why we have these issues. And this is wrong. And if you look at what's going on here, look at these officers. They're ready to take action against these people here. This is a war zone. It's good that people are out and they're speaking about this problem. Okay? They're speaking about what happened to Kiki Gray. But this is a tinderbox. Because on the other side of that coin, those officers are not about what's the best interest of the people in this community. They're about, well, let's keep the peace, right? Let's keep you in your poverty. Let's keep you behind, you know, so you're going to be, you can, you know, make a little noise, but we're going to make sure that it's to a certain degree. And after a couple days, a week or two, it's going to blow over. And they're going to continue the same Gestapo tactics that they've been doing over and over again. It needs to change. This is Bishop Dr. Ray Blanchett.
Oh, I'm on the corner of East 55th and Church near the remarkable and growing memorial to Kamani Gray. There are posters of the young man. There are cards written. There are candles and flowers. Clearly a community that is in tremendous grief and agony over the latest loss from the New York City Police Department of a young man's life. Do you mind if I speak to you?
Why you
do? I mean, we're here by this painful, memorial that's been set up to this young brother.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you express your own sense of loss?
I mean, I knew him all my life. I was actually,
you actually knew Kamani
minutes before he died because we was at a baby shower together. The cops use excessive force. If you're trying to stop somebody, you know, you don't just pull out a gun and shoot somebody like that. And then these cops, and I believe there's still crooked cops around because they said it was a gun. Now they're saying it wasn't. There was no gun. So I don't understand. My condolences just goes out to his family. I'm really hurt by it too because I grew up with him. I knew him since he was probably like 2 years old, and I lived over here all my life. I really couldn't believe that he died.
And you're saying that you were with him just
20 minutes before.
20 minutes before.
We were eating food and all that stuff at my friend's baby shower. And he told me, he's like, I'll be right back. He was outside and stuff like that. I don't know when did he walk up the block. But all I heard, like 20 minutes after, is like, I heard a few shots and then I seen the helicopter and stuff. I still didn't know it was him until they said, oh my God, the cops killed Kimani. It's crazy though. Like last summer, they killed a girl up there on 40 something.
Chantel Davis.
I went to school with Chantel Davis. I went to junior high school with her. They use excessive force and they get away with it. That's why they feel like they should do it, because they're going to get away with it.
Kamani, what was he like?
Kamani, he's a nice person, sweetheart. The first thing you would see on his face is a smile. Kamani would never walk past you in the street without saying, hi, how you doing and stuff. He was in school. Kamani was just a sweet person. You'll be in the store, you don't have enough money, he'll pay for the stuff. I just want justice. The two cops that killed him, they need justice for it. They have them doing desk duty. They shouldn't be working at all.
Are you a student?
Yeah, I'm a student at LIU.
Are you surprised by what happened?
I'm very surprised because for sure I know he wouldn't pull out a gun on nobody. That's not even Kimani to pull out a gun on anybody. So when they said he pulled out a gun, the first thing I said, that was a lie. I didn't believe it. They showed a gun, but it doesn't have to be his gun. There's crooked cops. They could have planted that gun there. There's witnesses that was there that said there was Kimani pulled no guns. And then you shoot him 3 times in his back. That's not how you try to get somebody to stop running or whatever he was doing. That's excessive force.
Well, thank you for speaking to us, and I'm terribly sorry for the loss of obviously a good friend, and similarly hope that there's some form of justice. What do you think happened?
It's just wrong. That's it. He was killed innocently.
Do not shoot to kill anybody. You have to kill anybody. You're not trained to
disarm somebody. That's a different way.
Disarming is fine. Do not shoot to kill. 11 shots for what? 11 shots, come on. No matter how bad you are, no matter how good you are, why do you have to shoot 11 times? Like, what the hell?
Begging for his life. Begging for his life. Please don't kill me. Other people was begging for his life, and they still killed him. There's a lot of witnesses. This is not going to be occupied territory.
You said there were a lot of witnesses. Were there?
That's what I'm hearing. Is a lot
really?
Of
and
people
for
see
all
from
the
their
people,
window. It's not that late. Not
yes, I want to say this.
So you've spoken to some of them?
But
what have you heard?
It's not only for Kikani.
That he begged for his life.
It's not only for Kikani.
That he was literally begging for his life?
Yeah, but they said he was begging for his life. They were begging for his life also. And the cop said, I will shoot you too.
And this is not only for...
So people said that not only was Kamani attacked, but people who were around were threatened. And what's your relationship to these young women?
I was a teacher for some of these young people. Clara Barton. I'm out here to make a statement about what the police are doing to these young people. That the police are out of control, and I think the media lies that this area right here looks like an occupied territory.
Yes, it certainly does.
And I think that it's racist, and I think it's disgusting, and I think everybody should be out here and stand in solidarity with this community.
But you actually know a lot of these young people who were your students.
And I adore them, and it's good to see them. It's good to see them that they're not afraid to come out. And when you come out here and see this, especially if you're familiar with it, you understand it is systemic. And it's going to take a revolution, and it's going to take a different kind of society. Not this society, which is based on rich and poor, but a society where everybody is on the same level. That's ultimately what it's going to take.
What's your name?
Joan.
Tell me a little bit about young Kamani.
It's a child.
You live on this block?
Yeah, I live in the N building there. And he always in my building. If I go to the laundromat and I'm coming home, Moms, do you need help? And he helped me. I live on the fourth floor, and he helped me with that shopping cart up the stairs. You know, he's a good child.
So how do you process the distortions, the comments about gangs, the comments about guns, the whole barrage of negative commentary in media?
Because every black kid is a gang member.
Yeah.
And every black kid in this community is a gun holder. That's what they portray in us as. Because that's what the 67th precinct perceives us as. We're animals.
What you're saying is this really is a kind of racist occupation, the way the police relate to the community. So what do you do?
This is a community of West Indians.
No, he's not doing nothing for the black people.
Police sniper on your bill. You don't see them on your building?
Yeah, I see them.
I don't know what they think it is.
So you're telling me that there are snipers actually that have been on the
building? The police right up on the building right there.
You live on the block as well?
I live right there.
You're
I'm very angry. I didn't even notice nobody mentioned what school he goes to. The papers never even asked what school he goes to. Urban Assembly for Design and Construction at 50th Street. All we know, he's a gang member, he likes luxury cars, every negative thing. That's all the media is grafting for.
So create another picture for us. Create the real picture.
He's a 16-year-old kid. That's what kids would be. Hang on the street, they hang around, that's it. But this old thing, they just want to patrol. Kiki is a bad kid. Every kid in this neighborhood will be a bad kid. You know, and we are angry because you ain't going to shoot him in his back. And he was pointing the gun to you, so how he got shot in his back.
What do you think has to happen now?
We need the police in jail. They're killing. They come in here, walking. We can't cross the street Wednesday night when we want to picket. If we cross the street, they're locking you up. They bring net like if we're animals. We're not animals. We are human beings who is very frustrated and need them to stop it.
Their behavior in this community
it's
provokes
terrible.
That.
Kids can't walk no place because if they walk, they jump up and start searching them. Personally, I watched them many times. I got to run downstairs and say, don't touch them. We mothers are fed up. The media's coming in our community, and they're not coming to see what happened to Kiki. They're just coming to grab the negativity of our community. You're not coming and say, well, this kid is dead. Let's talk about the positive, what we want to enforce. You want to know if he's a gang member, if it's the truth they're doing. We are tired. I got 2 sons and 3 grandsons. And you know what? If somebody kill my son, maybe. Because ain't nobody killing what belongs to me. You
know what? I don't know him personally, but...
I know him personally because you know why? It's my son's friend. And my son can't even go to school because they shot his friend. Because they went to a party. And when they come home, now next thing that's, you know, police jumping out with hoodie. That's what kind of thing is
that? Police officers over here don't identify themselves.
Don't identify themselves.
They have power. So for all you know... They probably thought it was some guys trying to come after him.
Mm. What it is, they don't identify themselves.
And they look like regular dudes, just
push
like
their hand.
Regular, they look like regular kids, just like that. So
don't let them blocking up my driveway, neither in front of my goddamn.
So if you had whatever you wanted now in terms of addressing this tragedy, what would you say has to happen to try to rectify this situation with the way police...
Just like how a regular person...
Police what?
If they harm a police officer, they're going to jail, they need to pay as well. Let them lose their jobs. For all you know now, they're sitting behind the desk chilling like everything is okay.
Thank you, by the way. And this is Mimi Rosenberg reporting from Church Avenue and East 55th Street in front of the makeshift memorial for Kamani Kiki Gray. I'm standing in front of a large poster at the makeshift memorial for Kamani Kiki Gray. It says, the Caribbean Guyanan Institute for Democracy demands an independent investigation into the shooting of Kamani Gray. It's clear that the community intends to stay here throughout the night and will continue to return to the scene until they feel that there's some measure of justice to approach the situation of yet this latest police murder of a 16-year-old youth in the African-American community. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.